And we are back with another episode of Uncomfortable Conversations on Blueprint Coaching, the series about how to say what's on your mind, even though it might be incredibly hard. Tools, tips, tricks to pretty much get that conversation out there and how to communicate. And today, I am pleased to have a fabulous guest with me, Monique Zareba. Did
hello.
I get that right?
Zareba? Yes, you did.
I did. Well, hello. Thank you for coming on our podcast.
My pleasure.
When I first told you about this podcast idea, you were like, "This is a great idea." Mm-hmm. Uncomfortable conversations. I guess why did you say that? What stood out to you about that?
I think that we're generally nosy people. Everyone likes to know, you know, uncomfortable conversations. It's different. You know, you don't really hear that often. It's kind of hidden. People are kind of shy and uncomfortable with having conversations like that. And I feel like it's cool for people to open up and for us to actually share and communicate what's on our mind. Because at the end of the day, we're all human. We all sometimes have the same thoughts, and to open up and to have a discussion about it, I find it's unique, and I love the idea.
Yeah, no, you're right. It is sort of hidden too, and something that people don't always talk about. They can't have the conversations, and then sometimes they don't talk about the conversations they've mm-hmm. had because they were uncomfortable.
Yeah.
There's been people on this podcast who, after we've had the episode, at the end, they were like, "I really didn't like talking about that."
Really?
Yeah, and then I felt badly that I made them bring it up again. Mm-hmm. But it's just interesting the emotions things bring up. So we'll see how you feel today.
Of course.
And we're going to be talking about a conversation you had with your mom about what to do after graduating university.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to that in a sec. But as with all podcasts, thought of the day, and I wanted to get your thoughts on this. So here is a quote, and it says, "The art of conversation is the art of hearing as well as of being heard." And that is by William Hazlitt.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Do you associate those two parts of the conversation?
Yes, actually. What I like about that quote is that I like to talk a lot, and I like to have an opinion. I have a strong opinion. And recently I've realized that it's not only talking, it's hearing what the other person has to say, hearing yourself, being aware and mindful of everything, even if it's no matter what the conversation is about. It's just being aware of the individual in front of you and of yourself. And I feel like a lot of people forget that. So that was quite interesting to me. And I've started to personally be more aware of that. Just like I said, I like to talk a lot, and before I used to just talk, and I never actually listened and took a step back and tried to think of what they were thinking or what am I actually saying. So I've been making a conscious effort of really implementing that.
I mean, that's a huge thing. I'm curious as to know what sort of got you thinking that maybe you need to take a step back and listen more. Did something happen or?
Not necessarily anything happened. I started to be more aware of myself and realize that basically treat others as you want to be treated. And so being aware of what the other person is saying and what they're actually thinking and being conscious of that is just more, I realize that I hope that other people do that. So I try to implement it myself. It was just over time. It was more just a realization. And there wasn't really a key moment that I realized that. It was just over time.
I think it's super cool. I mean, I've talked before, you know, on the show and then also in talks I give about to do with emotional intelligence, it's something called empathic acknowledgement, mm-hmm. which is sort of pretty much what you're saying. The whole idea being that you are acknowledging someone empathically. So you're mm-hmm. really just listening to them. You're taking yourself out of the conversation entirely and you're just listening to them,
mm-hmm.
which is something that is super hard for us to do. I mean, right now I'm speaking and you might be thinking in your head, what am I going to say next? What should I do? You might or might not be, but we all do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, how many times in a conversation are we sitting there listening to what the other person's saying, but then thinking, okay, what can I say next? You know, what advice can I give? Or what answer can I give to that comment that she just made?
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to not do that is super hard.
It is.
But it sounds like it's something that on your own accord, you sort of started mm-hmm. doing.
Yes, we obviously all do that. We prepare in our mind what we're going to say. But at the end of the day, it also depends who you're speaking to and what the conversation is about, because it is some conversations attract you more than others, obviously. But yes, I've really tried to actually step out and listen to what the other person is saying and be aware of what the reason why they're saying it. Obviously, I'm not always doing it because it's something that I'm still learning and I'm trying to catch myself when I don't do it. But yeah, it's definitely a talent to really stop and realize and be aware of your surroundings.
No, it is. And to make you feel more at ease, only 2% of the population apparently does that.
Really?
So it's very, very rare. And so you're well on your way to the 2%.
Lovely.
All right. So speaking of, you know, being heard mm-hmm. and saying and hearing. Mm-hmm. What was this conversation you had with your mom about what to do after high school? Mm-hmm. What was the conversation? And then sort of, you know, what did you find hard about having it?
Yeah. So basically, I come from a Polish family. And so we came to Canada with obviously the intention of really making an amazing living. And so it was obviously expected that me and my sister, we would go to school and we would get a diploma and make something of ourselves. And I'm all for that, right? But so I'm in school for business and communications. And it took me a while to realize, you know, what do I really want to go into? Is that my passion, you know? But I felt like the conversation that we had was, what are you going to do after high school? Is it university? Is it college? Is it not? And the hard part of it was, you know, I didn't know. I feel like it's forced upon kids who are just 18 graduating from school to say, I need to know what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do. This is my career. And so that's what was the tough part. And I felt like I had to have an answer. And just being looked at, my mother saying, you know, we came here for a reason and we need to basically prove ourselves. And so to feel like the day after you graduate, you need an answer was the hard part.
It sounds like there's a lot of pressure.
Mm-hmm.
And so what was the conversation about with her then? What did you say?
So, I mean, at first it was more just saying what I think she wants to hear, which wasn't obviously beneficial at that moment, but the conversation was more, I could say it went on for about a month, not at once, obviously, but it was brought up constantly. So the beginning would be just more, all right, let's sit down, let's plan out what are you going to do, what field you're going to go into, and what are you going to do afterwards as well. And so, like I said, it was just the hard part of actually having to have an answer. And at the moment, it was made basically a made-up answer just because I didn't know, but I felt like I couldn't say that. I couldn't say I didn't know because it wasn't right. You had to know right away. And so that was really tough. And fortunately, I did find something that I do enjoy doing. But even to this moment, I feel like we're always pressured to have an answer and to figure out what you want to do as a career. And I've started to realize, especially the Canadian lifestyle, is just you grow up, you go to school, you have to figure out what you want to do, and you're going to do that until you retire. And there's no ifs or buts or anything. It's that's your path and you have to follow it. And so I guess the conversation kind of made me realize that, do you really have to follow that path? And I'm still in that journey of realization if it's really necessary, if, you know, what to do. You don't have to, do you have to follow it, or are there other ways around it? Or so that's still something that it's on my mind.
And that question of, do you have to follow that path, is that something you did broach with your mom?
Yes. So basically, in a way, it was decided that, yes, you do have to follow that path. It is a path, and you have to do it as an individual who is here and who got the opportunity to come to Canada and to go to a great university. You have to follow a path just because it is given to you, in a way. And that's the conversation that we did have. And I agreed with it at the time because, yes, I am very grateful and I do want to go to school. But what was the hard part was saying that I don't know yet what I want to do. Why do I have to decide and go to right away, go get a diploma the day after I graduate? There's no time for you to explore and to think about who you really are. I find it's just way too early. And so basically now looking back at the conversation, I kind of wish I was a little bit more open about that because I kind of said what needed to be heard. But I didn't actually express the fact that I don't know yet. I don't.
So is this a conversation that you would have again with her? You know, now looking back, mm-hmm. and saying, okay, maybe I didn't say exactly what I was thinking or wanted to say. Mm-hmm. Is it something that you think is worth having again with her and expressing your feelings, or maybe not?
A little bit of both. The reason I say that is because the path that I did go on brought me to places like Barcelona, and I'm very, very happy and grateful for where I am right now, and I wouldn't have been here if she didn't push me and if she wasn't, you know, so I guess basically, yeah, if she didn't push
forthcoming
me,
forthcoming about what she wanted.
Exactly. So I feel like, in a way, if we had the conversation about me being completely open and saying, you know, I don't know yet, and I guess I want to explore and not go to school yet, I wouldn't be here today. And so I feel like everything happens for a reason. Although, yes, it would be worth having the conversation again just to really just tell her what's on my mind and how I felt then, just because I feel like I'm a little closer with her now and I'm a little bit more comfortable with being open with my thoughts And so, yes, I would definitely have that conversation again with her. And I didn't think of it, but yeah, I would.
And it's interesting, you know, while you're speaking, I'm thinking that so many of us, I think, find ourselves in situations, in conversations mm-hmm. where we say what we think needs to be heard.
Yeah.
Or we don't want to kind of ruffle feathers or get into an issue. And we're kind of just to be like, okay, yeah, mm-hmm. I'll just go with this. And then sometimes it serves us, you know, like it has for yes. you. And then sometimes also we find ourselves in situations that we really don't want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Are there... Is your mom like a special case, I guess, when it comes to these types of conversations? Or do you find yourself in other conversations as well where you are saying what you think needs to be said?
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I feel like she'll be listening and be very angry. But, you know, it's definitely I have to sometimes filter what I am saying just because I do know her mindset and I know how she thinks. And sometimes it's just better off, I feel, to bring the conversation to where I think it needs to be brought. And I realize now that maybe that's not the best way of doing things. You know, filtering what I have to say is not open communication. And so that's how it used to be, just because I felt that's how it, like, say what they want to hear. But I realize that's not beneficial anymore. And that's something that I should really work on. And I have been. But, yeah, I guess it was different. It's different with your mother as well, right? I'm open to talking with people like yourself and my friends and other family members more easily. But when it's your mom, you know what she expects of you. You know what she's thinking. You see the way she's looking at you. And so you kind of feel like you need to say what you think she wants to hear.
There's a scary mom element for sure.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But in terms of, I guess, other conversations with other people, mm-hmm. do you find that you do the same thing sometimes? Or is this mom specific?
I guess it was more mom specific now. Like this, when the conversation happened and when the problem occurred, I mean, this was 3 years ago now. Yes, I didn't. I guess I would do that more often. But as the years have gone by, I've started to be more aware, and that's not always the best way of communicating. You, even if you know that's something they don't want to hear and it's something that needs to be said, you might as well just say it. So I guess my filter has diminished over the years, definitely.
Well, I mean, it also sounds like the more that you were starting to figure out what you wanted,
mm-hmm.
And I think this is true for a lot of people, the more confident you can be in saying what you want mm-hmm. and not filtering things.
Yeah.
You know, you kept saying that back when you spoke to your mom, you didn't really know what you wanted. You just yeah. know that maybe you needed some time. You didn't yeah. have the answers like that.
Yeah.
And so the more, I guess, the more direction you have or the more you know yourself, mm-hmm. the easier it is to sort of be clear about your expectations and what you want.
Yeah, but I start to wonder, what would have happened if the conversation went a different way? What if I told her I don't want to go to university right away? So maybe it was worth it to have that filter at that time. So it's interesting to see it kind of mapped out in the different directions it could have went. So I don't know, I feel like I said, where I am now, I'm very, very blessed, but I'm very curious to see how it would have went if I took a year off or if I explored or if I found my passion before going into university as opposed to finding it during. So,
I mean, it's a good point. You know, what's that movie, Sliding Doors?
Sliding Doors.
I think this movie, yeah. Sliding Doors, where in one instance, I think it's Gwyneth Paltrow, she misses the train mm-hmm. by 2 seconds and doesn't get on the train. And so the movie is what happens mm-hmm. when that happens. Yep. And then the other movie, she gets on the train. And then the parallel movie is what happens when that happens. And yeah. it's like two totally different lives.
I've never seen that, but I think I want to.
I'm pretty sure it's called Sliding Doors. But it's sort of that idea of, I mean, mm-hmm. we can't live our lives as in what if, but it yeah. is a good thing to think about, you know,
mm-hmm.
what would have happened.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I guess, what do you find the hardest part for you about, whether it's talking to your mom or talking to someone else in terms of not sort of filtering what you want to say and just kind of coming out and saying exactly what you want?
Well, let's just say my filter is, like I said, is not very, it's not there as much as it used to be. I do have a strong opinion, and sometimes the hardest part for me now is to bring that filter back, depending on who I'm speaking to, because I realize people are different. I can be very straightforward, and I've started to realize that it offends some people, and it starts to take people back, and you can tell by just the way they react. And so the hardest part for me now is to decide when to use a filter and with whom. And so that's, again, something I need to consciously work on. But, yeah, I feel like it's not everyone's the same. You can't communicate with everyone as if everyone's the same person. So that is probably the hardest thing for me. But
Yes. No, that's a. I'm smiling because someone once told me I don't have a filter between my brain and my mouth, and I think that's. I still get told that, but I've been working on it, and I guess I'm wondering because I work with a lot of clients mm-hmm. who sometimes their biggest issue is in the middle of a conversation, especially mm-hmm. when it gets heated and you know when it's like intense. They need to have that filter. They need to decide, okay, what do I want to say? What do I not want to mm-hmm. say? But they can't take this step back while it's all happening
okay.
to decide or mm-hmm. to figure that out. Mm-hmm. Can you do that? You say you're working on it.
Yeah.
Is that
recently it depends. I try to, and I've started to actually I've been pretty good at it recently, just knowing how to filter things through just because I've been so conscious of it. It's funny how we are talking about this just because it's something a goal of mine personally to work on. So yes, I've been more conscious of it, and I'll know now right from the beginning of the conversation with someone, I know how they are. Like maybe I get to know their personality a bit more, and I feel basically the way they react to the beginning of our conversation, how the rest will continue. And so, I mean, I obviously still need... I'm not an expert at it yet, and it is really hard to do to be always so conscious. But I think that I've been, over the years, getting much better at it.
Well, no, it sounds like you're reading the conversation mm-hmm. a little bit better and then mm-hmm. kind of acting yes. accordingly.
Exactly.
Is there any advice you would give to someone who, let's say, is in your situation now?
Yeah.
Either coming out of high school, whether to go to university or after university, mm-hmm. and having to have that talk with someone?
Yes, I definitely would say don't feel pressure to do something. If you don't feel like you want to go to university or college or anything for that matter, it's no one can force you to do something. If your passion lies elsewhere, follow it. If you feel like school is the route that you should go down, follow it. But probably what I would have told myself back then is just be honest with yourself. If you feel like that's not what you want to do, or if you don't know what you want to do yet, it's okay. It is okay. You don't have to, after the day after graduation, go get your diploma or go whatever your parents are making you do. You can, as an individual, make that decision, sit down, have that conversation with yourself even, and figure out what do I want to do. So... it's that I think that's very, very important.
No, and I think that's great advice. I think I like what you said about how it's okay mm-hmm. that you don't know. I mean, I graduated university. The biggest thing with everyone who graduated was, okay, so now what?
Yeah.
You know, what do I do?
Yeah.
And I always thought that could even be a class in university.
Yes.
Which I don't think
yes,
it's...
please.
It's like, what's yeah. next? The real yeah. world.
Bye. Like, that's... they just set you out and expect you to figure it all out.
Well, exactly. And if you have, like, an English degree or, mm-hmm. you know, something that's not necessarily, like, you're going to be a lawyer or a doctor yeah. or an engineer, it's more open. And so you really don't know.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay.
Yeah.
And I think that's great what you said. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you regret it now?
Regret going to university? Or?
Yeah, or do you regret, I guess, saying what your mom wanted to say and just going on that path?
Well, actually, now that, like, no, just because where I am today, I feel inevitably I was meant to end up here no matter what path I went down. I feel like things happen for a reason, and so I'm very, very happy that the conversation went that way in a way, just because I am here. But like I said, I'm curious to know how it would have gone if I just took a year and you know, would I still be here today? And so, yeah, it is that curiosity. But at the end of the day, I am very, very happy for where I am right now. So yeah, I guess you can say I'm happy for my mother for pushing me and really giving me the opportunity to be the strong person I am today.
No, and it seems like it's also sort of, you know, opened your eyes up to, I guess, what you want for the future. And mm-hmm. you have, you know, become incredibly successful in the short time you've been in Barcelona. So we are actually pretty much out of time. So Monique, I want to thank you so much. Fabulous insights. Really great.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You know, you speak as if you've lived for like 40 years, really. How old are you? 16?
16 and a half.
16 and a half. And for our listeners, as I always leave you with a challenge, this challenge is something I came across in a book that I really liked. And it's not really about it's a little bit about conversations, but the idea being agreement versus expectations. So what I want you to do is, no one likes to necessarily say or hear that I expect this of you. This is what I'm expecting of you. I want you to try and change the way you think about conversations in the next week to, instead of expectations, I expect you to be home for dinner by 6. I expect you to change the kids' diapers. I expect you to do this. Phrase it in a way of an agreement. So ask your partner, ask someone you're speaking to, can we agree to do this? Do you agree to do this? How can we agree on this? Change it from expectations to agreement. And I think that you will notice a huge change in people's reactions and how you get things done. Nobody likes to be told that things are expected of them. And if you change it to agreement, it really changes the nature of the conversation. So that is my challenge for you for this week. If you want to know more, you can look at my website, blueprintcoaching.ca. Subscribe to our podcast. It's Blueprint Coaching on Apple, on iTunes. And we will be back next week with another episode. Thank you to our executive producer, Catherine Gostani, and to our tech man, Alex.